All right, so tonight it's good to have you. I hope and pray you've had a wonderful day. I have had a marvelous day. It's been interesting. I will tell you that tonight, before we get started talking about this next stage, it's a stage that I have three kids in. I will tell you that we have learned as we went. It's been fun, all right? It's been joyful. I've leaned on my mom and dad. I've leaned on the wisdom of that of older individuals, of people that have already went through this. So I will tell you that we did not navigate like Lone Rangers and be like, we can figure this out ourselves. But we did look to the Lord as well. There's been a couple of times that we've just had to really lean on the Lord and believe that God's word is true and believe that what God's word says is that it will not return void. And so as we are praying for God to open the eyes of our children, we want them to hear what we've said. We want them to let the word of God soak into their heart and realize, as we'll talk about tonight, that we have no control over it. They're young adults, and right now it is them just doing what you pray that they'll do, and that is listen and heed to the truth of God's word. But before we get started, I do want to pray. Let's pray. And then I want to share a book with you that I've read or that I'm reading through. And I've got most of it read. And it's a good book, especially for people my age. And so I'll show that book to you, read a couple of clips out of it, just so that you can appreciate maybe that as well. And then we'll get started on this next stage. Father, we love you. And Lord, we do say thank you for this time. Lord, let me just slow down. And then let me breathe. And then, God, let me be able to speak words of wisdom. Lord, may we be thoughtful of what's said and done. And, Lord, may we be mindful that you're a God that is in control. And that, Father, we need to trust that. We need, as parents, Lord, to be able to believe that, God, that you are very aware of what's taking place. And that, Father, if our children are children of God, and Lord, you're there. Lord, you're there to correct. You're there to guide. You're there to continue to allow them to grow in their faith. And Father, in this stage that we're going to talk about tonight, Lord, it's not that there is no hope. Lord, there is hope. It's just that the roles change. And so, Father, we as parents, we need to see that as well and understand that it's hard for us as parents to quit telling them, this is what I told you, to where this is what I suggest. And that, Father, they hear what we've got to say. And Lord, I believe they will listen to what we've got to say if we've done those other stages properly, or they'll be more apt to. Let's say it that way. And so, God, I pray that whatever stage we're in parenting, that, God, you will receive the glory for what takes place within that of our homes and with that of our lives. And, Father, we love you and we praise you. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So, through all of my readings and my journeys and there's a book called, please, I never thought I would get to this time, Not Old, Not Young, Not Done, Following Jesus in Your 50s and 60s, okay? It's by Christopher Ash, okay? Ash offers several markers for the afternoon of life. That's what he calls it. He says there's a lot of books that have been written about how teenagers can grow in their faith, or how, you know, parents can be parenting. You parent through these different stages, but very few books, even Tim Challies would say, very few books that he knows of has been written about this stage of life. And so Christopher Ash calls it the afternoon of life. And so he notes there's six different markers for us that are in this time period. Now you're like, Pastor Scott, why are you talking about this? Well, because number one, I'm in this stage, this friendship consultant stage, all right? I'll say it again, the friendship consultant stage. Right now, you're just a consultant. You're given wise counsel. And as this stage in life, everything you've done before 18 years old, all right, you're just going to pray that you've done everything you could, okay? And you're going to pray believing that God will continue to guide them the way that God would want to guide them. Now, it doesn't mean you're like, okay, let them roll. No, you're still very concerned. You're still very aware. You still want to be involved, but it's just a different, it's a different involvement. And so Ash points it this way. He says, he wanted to categorize them in six different stages. Number one, when children leave the home, this afternoon of life, this 50 to 60 year old mark, it's when children leave the home, leaving us with an increasingly empty nest and eventually a completely empty one. And so we're in this stage of life to where this 18 plus, we're seeing our homes are becoming empty. It's kind of like this. You're driving down the road, you're in a Suburban, all right, and one day the Suburban's packed. All seats are flipped up, every seatbelt is locked in, and then next day you're riding down the road and you look back and there's one kid smiling at you, all right, because everybody else is gone, because you're going to have that time in your life, and you want to prepare for that time of your life because that time is going to come. Number two, another one that he addresses in that book is we began to care for our elderly parents. Things begin to change. We began to care for them more so than we do for that of our kids. Number three, the easing of money worries. As low earnings and heavy expenses of the early life give way to greater financial stability. For the most part, 50s and 60s, you should have some stability within that of your finances. If not, let me encourage you. Come January, we're going to do financial peace. And so we're going to teach that class here. So if you would like to get involved in that, we'll have more information coming. And we've got some great ways to do that to where it's cost effective. Okay. So if that's an issue, now's a good time to do it if you're in your 20s and your 30s. Number four, familiarity with our jobs as we settle into our employment and even begin to ponder retirement. Number five, good health, which while perhaps haven't already declined from our peak, yes, it does. Oh, that shoulder. It's still not as poor as it may someday be. And so, you know, your health begins to you've got good health, but it is declining. More time as your children depart of our job and our jobs are stabilized, time that we can be used well, or it can be used poorly. And so in this 50s to 60 year old mark, which I'm in, you can either use that time well or you can use that time poorly, because we do have more time now that the kids are gone. So how do you spend that time? I don't know. Who knows? All right. So Challey said this, though, to this end, he writes about the need for wisdom, the urgency of prayer. See, I think that's a big one. And that's why I really picked up for this stage of life, this friendship consultant stage. There's a lot of praying that takes place, y'all. Okay, there's a lot of praying. James says, a man that prays unwavering, believing that God can, okay? Believing that God's will would be for this, Lord. Please, God, let it be. And the necessity of the gospel. He offers chapters on caring for aging parents, for strengthening marriage, because remember, up until this time, it's been kids, 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 kids. Where do we go? What do we do? And a lot of times, husbands and wives, they lose that connection that should have been not lost, but it is lost. And so how do you regain that connection? Because listen, when they leave, then you kind of just sit there and look at each other and like, who are you? All right? Because why? Well, because you went one way, they went the other way. One went to basketball, one went to soccer. You get home, what do? You scarf down a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. When you go to bed, they go to bed. I mean, really, life is very crazy during those raising those kids. And so there is that strengthening of the marriage and for the interacting with grown children. That's a huge one. How do we interact with grown children? We've already decided that when the last one moves out, we're going to sell the house, we're going to buy an RV, and we're going to be like Uncle Eddie off of Christmas, yeah, whatever, vacation. And we're just going to go live in their driveways because you know what? They lived on us, we're going to live on them. So, but how do we deal with grown children? He explains the importance of remaining deeply grounded in the local church. That is big, because when you get in your 50s and 60s, a lot of people get to thinking, okay, I'm going to retire. We're just going to go on vacation. We're just going to go. And so you get ungrounded in your local church, and you need your local church. You need that body of believers to help hold one another accountable, as our pastor would have done a fabulous job preaching this morning. And so we need to stay grounded in that. He considers what it means to retire and to celebrate the joy of friendship. And then he bookends it with all the considering the need for a godly heart and a quiet heart, a godly heart and a quiet heart. And so I just thought that maybe you'd be interested in it. I've enjoyed it so far. The dude's a pretty good author. I've read a couple of his books, but when he wrote this book, he was in his 70s. All right. So therefore, he's looking back and he's looking to see what took place in his 50s and 60s. So it's called Not Old, Not Young, Not Done. All right. Not Dumb, Done. OK, let me clarify that for purposes on the mic anyway. And it's just following Jesus in your 50s and your 60s. So tonight, the theme that we're going to be talking about is as our children reach adulthood, parents shift from directing their steps to walking beside them. You shift from directing their steps to where now you just come, you're just walking beside them, offering wisdom, listen to this, when invited. Offering wisdom when invited. Y'all, listen to me. It's going to be very difficult. I promise you, been there, done that. You're going to have to offer wisdom when it's asked of you. Because when you offer your wisdom and it's not been asked, you're taking on a role that is no longer there. All right? Now, hold on a minute. You're like, Pastor Kyle, what if they get to be 19 and they don't want to hear from me no more? I assure you, all right, I do believe that if you do these stages right, all right, and you do come alongside and you do the cop stage properly, and then you come alongside and you do the coaching stage, and you grow that relationship through that coaching stage. A good coach, Pastor talked about it this morning, his wrestling coach, and how that man meant so much to him. So there's a relationship that you're making with these kids so that when they do become 18, 19, 20, that you know what, your prayer is that, Lord, I pray that I'll be the first one they call. But you ready? You're probably not. All right, you'll probably be the third one they call, all right? But the main thing is that they call someone that is a believer and they're still seeking godly wisdom. You know why they're going to do that? Because that's what you taught during the coach stage. That's what you've shown during the cop stage, is the need of God's word. The need of God's word and the need of God's guidance. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, the Bible says this, "The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out." And I love that passage because you and I need to understand that that's where we look back, and what we're doing is we're pouring into them as much as we can pour into them. And then what happens is they begin to navigate life, however they're navigating life, they draw from that. They draw from what it was that they were shown. They draw from the truths of God's word that's been instilled in them. And so what we've got to understand is that as we've looked at the caregiver stage, and then we looked at the cop stage, that 6 to 10 year old mark, to where really you're just laying down the law, all right? And then we come to that coach mentoring stage, you know, that 11 to 18 year old. You're coaching, you're mentoring. But then what happens is as Paul David Tripp would say in his book Parenting, what happens is then the children become adults, all right? And they do that, y'all. I assure you, listen to me. Today we were at Kung Thai. I don't know if you enjoy Thai food. Man, we love it. Today was my first day of eating a poke bowl. All right. It's probably not the right way to say it, but I'm a redneck from Boomer and I eat liver mush. It was doggone delightful. All right. You should try it. It's over on the other side of town, but Kung Thai. And as we're in there eating this Thai food, and they also have a Japanese menu as well, for those of you that enjoy the Japanese. But anyhow, we're sitting there and the place is packed with kids. All right. And you know what? We want to look around, and as we're leaving, we want to look at them and go, hey, enjoy these moments. It's going to go by fast. Enjoy these times. It's going to go by fast. But you ready? People told us that when we were sitting there with three little ones, and you're going, yeah, whatever, Jack, you're crazy. But enjoy these times. The other day, we had someone spying on you. Okay. It was me. You are sitting in front of the Dunkin' Donuts. Enjoy those times because, oh, I was watching you, girl. God, don't you? My drone. But see, but it's those days that we have to appreciate, all right? And you take those times. For us, now that we have grown kids, we have to go that extra effort. Last Saturday, we pack our bags. We just get in the Suburban and we drive to Asheville because we got one that lives in Silva. So that's our in-between place. And you know what we do? We just spend the day in Asheville, okay? Is that really? No, I'd really love to sit at the house and watch football. But you know what? If I want to continue to spend time with my kids, my adult kids, I'm going to have to go where they go. All right. I'm going to have to go and be a part of where they're at. I can't just say, come to my house, you bunch of. Anyway, so you can't do that. And so Paul David Tripp said this in his book, Parenting. When your children become adults, you lose the power to control them. I said that out loud. I'll say it one more time. You lose the power to control them, but you never lose the power to influence them. And I like that. You do, but listen to me. You can still influence them even though you don't have that control over their lives. Continue to influence them. This stage is about relationship, y'all. It's relationship over authority, wisdom over control. That's where I was telling you, to where we've already been there one time, a couple of times. And that is that you ready? That all we can do at this stage in your life is just offer words of wisdom if it's asked of you. And as you share the words of wisdom, you're praying then that they will hear it. You're praying that they will hear it. They will heed to it. And listen, ready? And if they don't, You're still encouraging them. You're still coming alongside. You're still letting them know that you're there for them. Because listen, you ready? You want them to learn how to appreciate those things, those words of wisdom. And you ready? It ain't till maybe they fall on their face. And you're like, oh, dear God. No, what? Yes, that's exactly what you'd want. Why? But they know that there's a safe place. They know that they can always come back. They know they can call mom and dad. They know that they can call upon that of maybe their pastor. They know that. But again, Paul David Tripp, I love what he said there. And tonight, guys, the transition that we have here is we need to release is not abandonment. That's not what I want you to think about. I don't want you to think that you're abandoning your kids. But listen to me. Here's the big one. It is entrusting our children to God. You're entrusting them to God. I believe, now you ready? I believe that my God is in control, and I believe that my God will take care of. All right? Now hold on, God forbid, but if you get the bad news, then you ready? My God is in control. That did not catch my God by surprise. I know that my God is watching over. I know that my God is taking care of. And so therefore, there's that transition and a thought of not saying, oh my gosh, I'm just going to, no, you're not. You're just giving them over to the Lord, because remember, that's what you're raising them to do. You want them to leave the house. I promise you, they do not need to be at your house still eating bonbons and drinking root beer or ginger ale if I had a bottle opener. I forgot I needed one of those. And I would split it in half if someone could make it open up. But anyhow, I digress. And so what happens is we need to realize that takes place. And so there's a biblical foundation for this consultant role. And so if you have your Bibles, let's go to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, I tried it with my teeth, but it wouldn't work no good. All right? Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, we know that here is where the Lord has given that of Eve, and they're getting ready to talk about how it's not good for man to be alone. Now notice what the Word of God says here, all right? In Genesis chapter 2, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to start reading in verse 20. So the man named all the animals. I'll wait till you get there. Sorry. That is so rude of me. Genesis chapter 2. And I'm in verse 20. And I'm reading from the Net Bible. My King James is falling apart. All right. So the man named all the animals, the birds of the air and the living creatures of the field. But for Adam, no companion who corresponded to him was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he was asleep, he took part of the man's side and closed up the place with his flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the part he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. And then the man said, this one at last is bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken out of man. This is why a man, watch this, leaves his father and mother and unites with his wife. Then he says, and they become a new family. The man, the woman, leaves their father and their mother, and they become one, united. And then we know over in the book of Matthew that it says, let no man put asunder. And so what you've got to realize is, parents, this is the hard one again, is that as these kids, all right, they'll always be kids, as these kids grow up and they get married, now you've got to make sure you're not the one that's putting asunder. That's the big deal. Hey, I'm telling you, I've always thought about it this way. When it comes to let no man put asunder, I've always thought about it being this. I've always thought about being another woman or another man and therefore being an adulterous relationship and causing asunder. But a mom and dad can cause asunder as well. The mom and dad, if you don't step away from that, if you've not already got it in your mind that little Johnny and little Sarah and Susie, whoever, if you don't already have it in your mind that, you know what, God has got this. This is the one that God would want them to be. This is where... Yes, sir. You can have some of it. I'm good. I know how you are with it. Thank you, sir. If you like ginger ale, it's fabulous. So with it, it is fabulous. It's probably the best doggone, probably the best. I can't handle that. Please, I'd like to get through the whole night, okay? Now, let me breathe for a second. I will tell you this, the Jamaican-style Goya root ginger ale, that is hot as snot, okay? So if you want to try that one, that's hot. It's Goya. It's in a glass bottle. All right, here we go. And so what happens is in Genesis, what we're reminded of is that they must leave father and mother. They must do that. It's not a, they can do that. It's not, no, they must. Your child is stepping into adult identity and responsibility. Even if they're not getting married, you need to let them step away. You need to remove yourself from amongst their daily whatever. All right. Honey, what did you have for breakfast this morning? And hey, can I ask you, did you have lunch? Oh, you did not have lunch? Oh, honey, you've got to eat lunch. If you're not eating lunch, you're not going to stay healthy. No, they are now adults. Okay. If they eat ramen noodles for the next, I don't know, 3 weeks, that's their choice. All right. You would hope that they would know better. You would, but listen, you ready? That's where you've got to remove yourself. And so you and I, we've got to realize something. The biblical shift goes from control to release. You go from control to that of release. Paul David Tripp made this quote. He says, parents who try to control their adult children are trying to do God's job. Think about that. Parents who try to control their adult children are trying to do God's job. Your calling now is influence. Your calling is influence, not ownership. Your calling is to be there to help influence them, to help guide them if they ask. You're there to give them words of wisdom. Again, remember, now I don't think there's anything wrong. You ready? Again, I'm going to speak from experience because I'm there. There's nothing wrong with saying, so tell me something. How's your church going? And they go, ah, oh, Dad, it's been a couple of weeks since I've been. You can't go, oh my gosh, you're going to die and go to hell. You're going to go, really? What's going on? Okay, I understand. Or they're going to go, man, Dad, you ain't going to believe it. It's been pretty awesome. And so you know what you do is when you go on vacation with them, you go down to their place, and then what you do is you go to church with them. And then you know what? You've been invited into their world. And that's all pretty awesome. When you get invited to your adult children's world, now you're going to their church. And you're like, this is weird. It was weird. All right. But I'm sitting down and I'm hearing this young man named Brody. All right. He's reading his sermon. They have the Lord's Supper every day or every Sunday. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, oh, this is interesting. And then you serve yourself. And I'm going, wow, this is cool. This is a church plant. I'm learning something here. Or you ready? Or if they're at college, you're just going to have to ask, hey, so tell me, how's it going? And there's nothing better than when your kid, because they're so busy with whatever it is, activity at college that they're there for, that they say, Dad, I know what you're talking about when you say there's Christers in the church. That's people that just goes to church on Easter and Christmas, and that's it. Because they've got themselves so busy and they realize, oh my gosh, I've stepped away. But you know what's so great? They acknowledge that on their own, that you're not sitting there harping on them. You better be in church. You better be in church. You're there to guide them. Whenever one of mine went off to college, when she first went to Chapel Hill, I did do this for her because I thought, a good dad, we ought to do this. I called around to some of the churches that was there close by because I found out from a couple of my preacher friends what was solid and what wasn't solid. The sad part is the churches that I did call to say, hey, listen, I would love for you to reach out to my daughter. She's at the college. She needs, you know, a good church home. None of them reached out to her. Sad enough. All right. But I do think that kind of stuff is good. All right. Because again, you ready? If she don't want to go, I can't make her go. But you know what? She can't call back and say, Dad, I just have a hard time finding a church. No, you don't, kid. I did what I could to help you out. All right. Again, not being there to control their lives, just there to help. Another way, if you want to flip your Bibles, let's go to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, the Bible says this, and I'm turning with you. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 in verse 9. Listen to what the proverb says here. And we're talking about this more of the counselor model, looking at it from the Word of God. All right. So Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9. Ointment and incense make the heart rejoice. Likewise, the sweetness of one's friend from sincere counsel. Now, notice that. I love how this version puts it. Sincere counsel. Counsel that you are, that is not being, have ulterior motives with it. You're sincerely giving them the wisdom. It's earnest counsel. And what happens is this becomes the new tone that we give to our kids. It's not that hey, can I just share some words of wisdom? We've been there, done that. I just want you to know, if that's what you want to do, just be aware this could be the outcome. And then you ready? You have to step away. Because why? Well, because you do want to give the counsel. I think counsel is great. But once you give the counsel, you can only hope that they are willing to do what? That they're willing to listen. The book of James tells me this, and this is what I've had to learn to do as my kids have become more adults. If you've got adult kids, you can help confirm this with me now, is I've had to be, according to James chapter 1, verse 19, I've had to be quick to listen and slow to speak. I've had to be quick to listen and slow to speak. So as my adult, as they become adults, I've had to be listening, all right, listen, and not be quick to tell them, hey, this is what, but why? Well, because now I have to be sincere. I have to be cautious. I have to be earnest with my counsel. I have to be, I'm not there to fix everything for them, okay? Although, you ready? It's okay to offer a fix to them. There's nothing more concerning than when a kid calls you from college and they say, Daddy, I've got an engine light on. And you're like, yeah, that's not good. And so what you have to do is you have to call around to a couple of, because people love to take advantage of a young lady. And so you have to call around and you have to find someone in Tennessee that you could say, hey, take your car here. I called someone. I said, hey, can I ask you a question? Yeah. Are you a believer? And the guy goes, yeah, man, we love the Lord. I'm telling you. And I said, well, listen, I got a daughter over there. She needs some help. She's got a check engine light on. Things ain't looking good. Could you offer some assistance? And I said, I don't need you taking advantage of her. And he goes, man, I'd love to. Thank you for calling me and asking me that. So you ready? I told her, called up. Hey, this is where you need to go. Okay, Daddy. All right. Then you ready? You got to know she can go. All right, she goes, she deals with it, she handles it, and you move on. All right, again, it's there to be able to give quick to listen, but slow to speak. And we've got to be prepared to do that. Tim Keller, which I'm very careful to quote, but I thought it was a good quote, and he did one on the book of Proverbs. If you don't let your children make their own choices, they will never learn to be wise. If you don't let your kids make their own choices, they're never going to learn to be wise. Adult children grow through guided independence, y'all, not pressure. Adult children grow through guided independence. It's a guided independence. And right now, for some of us, we've got kids that are 16 and 17 and 18 years old. Right now is a time where it's just letting them go. And they're being guided by that of, hey, you know what? I really don't think, or hey, you know what? Let's go. Or hey, you know what? But you're guiding them with the truth of God's word, with the wisdom of God's word, as we talked about in our last stage. And we're making sure that they know, where does mom and dad run to whenever things are not good? Or where does mom and dad run to when things are good? God's word shouldn't just be the place we run to when it's bad. God's word should be something we go to every day. And so they know, man, I know the Bible means this much to my mom and dad. And so therefore, when they do get to that point, you know where they're going to go? They're going to go to the word of God, because that's what they saw in you. That's what they saw exampled in your life as well. Another one would be this: trust in God with the work. Trusting God with the work. And what happens here is we've got to realize that according to like Psalm 138, if you just want to write this down, Psalm 138, verse 8, God finishes His purpose for our children. God finishes His purpose. Notice, it's His purpose. That's what we forget. They're on loan to us, okay? They're on loan to us. I don't know if you did a baby dedication or not, but as you were going through that baby dedication, what you're doing is you're saying, Lord, we recognize these are a gift from God, and God, and we give them back to you. And God, right now, may we just be good stewards of what we have. And Lord, may we raise them up in the admonition and the fear of the Lord. And God, may we direct them and guide them to the best that we possibly can, Lord. But ultimately, Lord, they're yours. And so what happens is here is we must come to that point of realizing that you're ready, that this is the heart of that consultant stage. This is where it's all about, is understanding that we must trust God. We must trust God. Listen to me. If your trust in God is not very good right now as a young parent, I would encourage you, grow deep in the trust of the Lord. Trust God for what God says. When God says thou shalt, or when God makes a promise within His words, we've got to get to a point to where we believe that God, when God says, it's God, and we can go to the bank on it. We can believe that it is what it is. And so if God says, listen, when God is done, then God is done. God has a purpose for those little warriors that we've raised. I want my kids to go and be a light to this world. I did not raise them to keep them cooped up in my house. I want them to just spread out, and I want them to be raising little warriors themselves. Why? Because the gospel message, guys, that's what it's all about. It's shining and sharing the truth of God's word. And so what happens is Elizabeth Elliot, she made this quote, "Our loved ones are not ours. They belong to God. We are stewards and not owners." We are stewards of what God has given to us. We are not owners of what God has given to us. And I'm telling you, listen to me. I've been able to youth pastor enough parents that I'm telling you, that is one of the hardest things as a parent for me to deal with myself, but for me to try to encourage parents as well as these kids are growing up. They're not yours. Now, they're yours on loan from the Lord. They're yours to pour God's word into. They're yours to disciple. You're discipling these young, these young animals. I mean, they're a beast sometimes. But ultimately, you're wanting them to be 18, 19, 20 years old as they go off to college, have an influence on the college campus. Hey, as they get married, be as young men, leaders within their home. As young women, women that come alongside and support and just do what it is that God has called young ladies to do within that of the home, and to come alongside and be anchors within the church and serve within the church faithfully. That's what I want. But we have to be ones that are given that example. And then by giving that example, then we also have to be ones that in this stage just continue to encourage, give them words of wisdom, give them the counseling that we can give to them, and then just pray and believe that God has it under control. God has it under control. So what changes in this stage? There's some things that change. Number one, one of the biggest things that changes is this: the authority shifts to influence. You cannot forget that. Authority, and that's hard, y'all. I'm telling you. That's probably one of the hardest things. And it's not that I had authority on my head. I mean, it's just coming to a point of going for your kid, where you're looking at this kid. Another one is hard is a kid, and anybody in here, you're welcome to speak anytime you want to. Anybody that's got this problem, okay, or you're living in this world, I think that words of wisdom is great. They go off to college. They graduate from college. They've been on their own. They've adulted it. I mean, they've done what they should have, but yet they come back home and then they're going to complete maybe their master's program, or they're going to come back home. Now they come back as adults. All right. Now they're back in your home. And that's kind of weird, because now they're not your kid, but they are your kid, and they're under my roof, but they're not under my roof. And y'all, you've got to be gentle with it. I mean, I don't know anybody wants to say a word in that. I'm telling you, that is one of the things. I can remember as a kid, or not as a kid, as a young man, me and Melanie got married. As we got married, we were living in Chapel Hill, godforsaken place. And so as we came back from Chapel Hill, all right, we were going to move. She was finishing up her school. I moved back in with my mom and dad. That's weird. It's just strange. It's just different. I'm adult now. I've been living on my own. You know, I go when I want to go. I do what I want to do. It wasn't that I was a bad kid or a bad young adult, whatever it was. It was just different. Okay. And you have to be prepared for that. You have to be prepared for when they do come back home, that you don't lose sight of the fact, well, by gosh, I tell you that. And you ready? But again, if you've done that cop stage and that coach stage properly, then they're going to be respectful for you as they come back home. All right. But there's still going to be some button of the heads. I don't know, button of the heads?
No, that's never.
Okay, good. Good. I'm glad to know I'm the only one. Good luck. Must be the ginger ale. With the kids, not with the wife, okay? And it's important for us to understand that we no longer have that command. Right now, it's counsel. Right now, it's counsel. He says this, Tripp did, God uses the lives of our children to advance his work in us. God uses that. Even in adulthood, parenting is sanctifying for the parent. Parenting is sanctifying. Parenting is something that is good for, it reveals our weaknesses, it reveals our strengths, it reveals where we need to grow and where we don't need to grow. Remember the James passage? It teaches me when I need to shut up. It teaches me when I need to listen better, all right? Because what have I always done for my kids? I've always fixed their problem. I've always fixed their problem. Listen, and if I couldn't fix it, YouTube showed me how. I fixed my kid's problem. I wanted to be a fixer. Me as a man, I want to fix things. Even with my wife. I'll tell you another good book if you want to listen to it. It's by Beakey, and that is How to Lead Your Home. That's a great book. I'm doing Audible right now because some things are just Audible. How to Lead Your Family, and it's by Joel Beakey. Joel Beakey, B-E-E-K-E, A Guide for Men Wanting to Be More. And it's a great book, all right? Because what he does, he walks through and he teaches us how I'm the prophet of my home. I'm the priest of my home. I'm the one. And so it reminds us the biblical application for that is where we are as men. And so what we see here is we see that in this, the things that begin to change is how we shift from that authority that we've always had to where now we're just having an influence. Adult children become fellow disciples. That is something that's cool. I love that about it. It is so fun whenever you're able, like I said, to go to your child's church. You're now adult child's church, and you're able to sit alongside them. You're able to hear the things that they're doing within their church. You're able to be out about, be able to share the gospel, have gospel conversations with other people, with your adult child there. You're able to do that. Your child becomes your brother or sister in Christ. That's pretty cool. They're now your brother or sister in Christ. Still a child, a co-laborer. They're a co-laborer. They're now laboring beside you, and they're serving alongside with you as what? As a role as of an adult. All right. Again, do you still see them as a kid? I think one of the hardest things for me, let's just do it that way. If I would have stayed where I grew up at, which was Goshen Baptist Church in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, it's located on W. Kerr Scott Lake. All right. If I would have stayed there, I don't think that people would have ever saw me as adult Scott. I thank God I've always been the little chubby kid, chubby cheek kid. They wanted to squeeze my cheeks. I made funny faces during church, and I would have always been little Scott. But the moment that you move away and you go to another church, and I'm not saying please don't get your kids move away. I'm just speaking from my experience that it wasn't until I went to another church that they didn't know me as a kid that they would look at me as an adult. All right. And that really does take place. It happens. And so as they do go off to college, they will see some differences in churches. Because why? People's going to look at them as not little Bobby and not little Tommy and not little Johnny. No, they're an adult and they see them that way. And so in doing so, it changes the way that they're looking at life. And so therefore, you and I, we become fellow pilgrims. I love A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer says this in The Knowledge of the Holy. The most important thing about a person is what they think of when they think of God. The most important thing, I'll say it again. The most important thing about a person is what they think of when they think of God. And that is the most important thing. When your kids, now adults, when they think of God, what do they think about? Or is it just a creaster? Is it just that relationship that we've shown to them, that we've lived out before them, that really is just a convenience of that of a relationship with God? God is a convenient God. There's nothing about serving God that's ever been inconvenient in my life. No, I really believe, honestly, I believe this. I believe that if you're a child of God, serving God ought to be very inconvenient for your life. If you do it out of convenience, you're not where God would want you to be. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, if you go over to Obed-Edom in the Old Testament, David, the old boy's trying to bring back the Ark of the Covenant, and he goes and he takes it from the home of Uzzah's father, which is a cool name, Uzzah. I always thought about a machine gun like Uzi. All right, that's how I remember his name. And so Uzzah and his brother, they load the Ark of the Covenant on a wagon. We know that was wrong. They're bringing it back to Jerusalem as they go through the threshing floor. What happens is the Ark of the Covenant takes a bounce. Uzzah puts his hand up on it. Boom, instantly dead. Because he lost sight of the holiness of God. He lost sight. He becomes so comfortable. Remember, he had been in his father's house for 20 years. We can grow so comfortable with it. So David gets scared. David's like, oh my gosh, we can't take that man. I'm done. So what does he do? He goes, knocks on the door of Obed-Edom. As he knocks on the door of Obed-Edom, Obed-Edom comes to the house, comes to the door, and David's like, yo, we got this thing out here in this wagon. Well, we'd like to leave it at your place. And you know what Obed-Edom says? Y'all, this thing is about the size of this Do and Remembrance Me table, the Lord's Supper table. It's about that big. Now, imagine some of you ladies, someone knocking on your door and saying, hey, I got this out here in a pickup truck. I need you to put it in your house. And you're going, I got no room for that. Obed-Edom says, come on, bring it on in. And for the time that it was with Obed-Edom, Obed-Edom's life was blessed. Out of the inconvenience, Obed-Edom was willing to serve God wherever it was that God would want him to serve. And that's the way we ought to be as well. Now listen, ready? I'm not saying that you do it to a point of just death. What I am saying though is that if you're not out of your comfort zone, if you're just doing it when it's convenient, they're going to do it just when it's convenient. Is it real within your life? Is it really your life? Is it really being lived out? Your job now is to help them think of God rightly. Your job now as you being a parent and as them being an adult, right now, all you can do is have them to think of God rightly through a grace-filled influence. Just grace-filled influence. You're trying to influence them with as much of the truth. You're trying to keep their eyes focused on that of the truth of what God. Listen, what would God want? Let them go and look for themselves. Because again, what they think of God, when they think of God, is what matters most within that of a person. They must own their decisions. There does come this time whenever, while authority shifts from that of I have the authority to that of influence, to where the adult children become now fellow disciples. Then what happens is now they must own their decisions. Your shift from here's what you should do is huge. You can't do that no more. Here's what you should do should go to this. How can I help you think this through? How can I help you think this through? What can I do to help you? Why are you calling me? I don't know. That's not nice. I know that. How come you calling me this time, Jack? All right, but that I don't do that, I promise you. But how can I help you think? Just give you some words of wisdom. How can I help you? How can I help guide you? Hey, is there some scripture would you mind if I share some scripture with you? Hey, this is what God's word says. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not. Most of the time the kids are going to go, especially if they grew up in church, they're going to go, oh, yeah, I know all about that. So you know what? You're just reminding them of that. It's good to be reminded. It's good to be reminded what God's word says. Don't ever assume that they know. Just say, hey, and especially if they've asked, now's a good time to go, yep, here you go. And you just share it with them. What do you feel God is leading you toward? Now, I'm all for careful about feelings. Please know, you can go to Taco Bell and have a bad night, okay? So be careful with your feelings and be careful with your emotions, okay? But I do believe that there's a time where you can ask them, hey, where do you think God is leading you in this? See, you're leaving it in their world. You're leaving it with them. And then if they say, well, you know, Mom or Dad, I'm really focused on this or this, then you could say, well, is that godly? Is that a righteous thing for you to be doing? Is that really a biblical thing for you to be participating in? And then you're ready, and then you're just stepping back. You're letting it roll. Because why? Well, because at this time, this is the biblical consultant posture. That's where you're just consulting from a biblical perspective. That's all I know to do. Like if you ever come and you sit down with me, I am not a counselor per se, like clinical counselor, all right? But I can open up God's word and I can say, hey, this is what God's word says. Hey, can I just tell you, this is what God's word says. You do with it as you please. And I do believe there comes those times to say, or you hope that they remember, let's say it this way, that if you've done these other, the coaching stage for sure, that they're going to honor they're going to honor what it is that you have to say. Now, hold on a minute. But it doesn't happen immediately. She's laughing at me. I know, right? Me too. There's nothing more valuable. There's no greater. I'm telling you, nothing greater. But you're pouring your heart out with your adult kid, all right? And as you're pouring your heart out with your adult kid, as you pour your heart out, because they asked, okay? Then all you can do is when you hang up the phone, pray. Just pray, y'all. Y'all, there was one thing we prayed. We prayed for months, okay? And I'm just like, God, I pray, God, please, Lord, let her hear, let her see, let her realize, God, please remind her that we're here for the good. We're not here, and you ready? There's nothing sweeter to a parent than for them to come to you later, months later, and go, hey, you know what? I've decided to do this. And you're like, praise God, oh, yes. But you know what they just said? I decided to do this. Now, at that moment, I could have said, well, that's what I told you. You know, you should have listened to me anyway. That's dumb. Don't do that. You're going to go inside. You're just saying in your brain, praise God. Hallelujah. They heard. Now, you ready? All I know is that I shared biblical counseling, biblical wisdom with them. You know what? It could have been someone else. I prayed. Listen, our prayers was and our prayers continue to be, God, continue to put godly people in the paths of my kids. Continue to put godly people, people that are founded in the Word of God. I don't have to be the one that tells them that. I just pray someone that is in God's Word will. Their new pastor, maybe it's an older couple. I love whenever my kids call home and they say, hey, we went out and had lunch with this person. And I'm like, really? And like, yeah, it's an older couple in our church. Yes, praise God. You know what? Because it was a day that I needed that when me and Melanie first got married. Or when I was just a single guy living in Charlotte or Chapel Hill, God forbid, you know, right? I don't have any issues with Chapel Hill. It's just, it's a strange place. All right. So finally, we have the friendship and the consultant role. Be present. Listen to me. Be present, not controlling. Present speaks louder than pressure. Be present, but not controlling. Ask questions before giving advice. That's hard. Remember, listen. Be sure to listen and slow to speak. Ask questions before giving advice. What do you sense God is doing in this situation? Would you like my advice or just a listening ear? That is huge. I've done that already. That is what you have. I've done that, y'all. I'm like, look, do you want me just to listen or do you want my advice? I'm just, and then you're ready and they'll go, well, I just want you to listen. Okay, good. Check. And you're just listening. All right. And when you get done, you know what? They'll go, thanks for listening. And then they hang up and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. It didn't matter. That's what they wanted. They wanted someone that would just listen to what they had to say. Now, they might call back or text and go, hey, now that you heard me, could you help me or could you show me? But again, it's just being willing to be there, to come alongside, to be present, not controlling. He said this in his book, Parenting. Tripp did. Good parenting is not a constant stream of directives, but a rich conversation of grace. I'll say it again. Ready? Good parenting is not a constant stream of directives. And that's true in all stages. Just think about it. There's nothing more worse than that of a kid that a parent is just constantly harping. You know what? There was days I begged my mama to whip me. Just whip me, mama. All right? Just whip me. Just so I don't have to hear you speak to me for 35 minutes about the same thing. My mom's going to listen to this one day. and then I told her it didn't hurt. And then I got my daddy with me too, so that was dumb. I do some dumb things, as you can tell. So anyway, so with that, what happens is we must realize that it's just having those good conversations. And you know what? Not always having the answer, although we want to have the answer for them. Hey, there's nothing worse, y'all. Hey, the other day I had a young lady ask me this question at Table Talk. It was fabulous. Table Talk, we're averaging about 40 kids, 30 to 40 kids every Tuesday. And so one of the conversations was, hey, does God have only one person for you to marry or does God always have two people for you to marry? And I'm like, wow, that's tough. Okay, let's talk about this. Number one, when you talk about that, are you talking about unequally yoked or yoked evenly? And she goes, oh no, Christian. I'm talking about a Christian. I'm like, okay, praise God, we're good there. All right, and then I'm like, okay, well listen, as you're running this race called life, listen, just as you're running, look to the left, look to the right. I got that from a young lady one time when I used to work at Miller's Creek. Look to the left, look to the right, and as you look, whoever's running the race with you, start talking to that person. Don't stop. If you got to stop while you're running that race, then you're ready. That ain't the right person for you because they ought to be running the same race you're running. All right. And if you've got to slow down for that person, don't slow down because again, that's not the right person for you. Just keep running that race. The race of what? The race of life. You're going for that, for the finish line. And then as you're running that race, God will put someone there along with you in that race. Now, hold on a minute. And then once you do get married, all right, because you're going to go, hey, I like you. And you're going to say, I like you. And then what you're going to do is you're going to get married. It's for life. That's it. Now, I don't care if God's got you one, two, or three, or 10. The Bible teaches made for life. Okay? And so in doing so, that's it. That's why dating, I'm going to use a bad word here. Dating sucks. All right? And I did it. And I did it wrong. And I try to tell your kids all the time, don't do it. Don't do it. Save yourself from the drama. Parents, don't encourage your kids to be in a relationship with a boy or a girl. Don't do that. Don't do that. Let it be just natural. All right? It's okay if Bobby ain't got him a girlfriend by the time he's 16. Save himself some money. He needs to save his money so that when he gets out, he can go to college. It's okay. All right? Because why? Because dating is for marriage. And I promise you, when they're in sixth grade, they ain't looking to get married. All right? So think through those things. But that's the advice. That's the counsel. So what you're doing is you're respecting their boundaries. Advice must be invited. Don't forget that. Not demanded. Advice must be invited. Encourage more than you critique. That's hard. Encourage more than you critique. Adult children thrive on affirmation. Don't critique everything. Do not. Be careful with that. It's okay for them not to have the nicest home currently that they're living in. It's okay if they don't have the best food in their refrigerator. It's okay if they don't have the nicest car. It's okay if they don't keep their car clean. Who cares if they keep their room clean anymore? They don't live with you anyway. All right? But if they do, bring it down. There'll be no messing in my house. All right? But in doing that, what you're doing, we find ourselves, we critique to death. We can critique it to a point that they'll quit calling. They'll quit asking. They'll quit telling you anything because they know all you're going to do is critique. And right now, as a parent, if you've got the younger stages, you should be very cautious with that as well. Because you don't want to be just a critic all the time. Encourage them. Affirm them in the good. You listen, ready? Not all of your kids are going to be A-plus students. Encourage them in the B's. Hey, you know what? That's awesome. Good job, Johnny. You know what? Hey, I was a D kid. I begged for D's. I mean, it was that way. My daddy should have worn my hind end out. I was lazy. All right. But anyway, we want to encourage them, not critique them. Pray more than we persuade. Your intercessory prayer, y'all, will go further than your instruction. Pray for them. Pray for your kids. Pray for their adult lives. Pray for them. We got to get to a point that we let go and we trust God. We let go. We trust God. You can't trust God if you don't know who God is. So as a parent, you need to be founded in the Word of God. It's going to be very difficult to trust God the way you need to trust God if you're yourself is not solid and grounded in the Word of God. That is not a casual experience with God every Sunday morning. You need to be in the Word of God every day. You need that, y'all. We need God's Word as parents and as Christians every day. Why? Because that's how we grow in that trust. I'm reminded of just a few things. As a father allowing his child to go, the prodigal father is a great example. I mean, just think about it. Here's four things. He didn't chase his son. His son came, his son asked, and he asked for something that shouldn't have came to him until after his dad died. But you know what? He came, he asked, the dad said, okay, here you go. So he didn't chase his son. He didn't manipulate his son. Okay, look, if that's what you want. He didn't shame his son. He didn't shame him. He didn't say, how dare you? You're not like your brother. He didn't shame him. Here's what he did do. You ready? He watched. Because remember when the prodigal son was coming home, he's on the front porch and he saw his son coming. He saw his son coming. So he watched with expectancy. He prayed, y'all. He prayed, he waited, and he welcomed. When his son came back home, hey, there ain't nothing better. I told you there's nothing better than whenever that child calls you and goes, hey, this is what I decided to do. You just want to go, oh, yes, I love it. Why? Because they've come to their senses. But you ready? The prodigal son was in the pig pen. And you know what? We may have to let them get to that far. Because if we bail them out, 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 then you know what? They never learn. They never come to their senses because you didn't let them come to their senses. You become their God. You're the one that has become their God. You've got to let them stay. Now that's hard. Why is that hard? Because, well, I don't want to see my kid in the pigsty. I don't want to see my kid. But you ready, guys? Do you trust God? Did you do all that you could through those stages? Did you pour God's Word into them? Now they're adult. They're making their own decisions. Do you trust God? I don't know. It's up to you. To release is a spiritual act. We must understand that. Here's some practical application. I'm fully aware of the time. No one can get a turkey until I get down there. So here we go. Healthy consultant behaviors. Here's some healthy behaviors. Listen without judgment. Give advice only when invited. Treat them like adults. That's huge. Treat them like adults. Celebrate their victories. The other day, mine came home. She had you're the best shoe seller. All right. And she had some award. You know, as an adult, I'm like, dude, that's awesome. You go, girl. You be the best shoe seller. Right. You listen, we celebrate it. Maintain adult to adult traditions. Coffee, meals, just having a meal with them, sitting down with them. I love when I get to go to Asheville. We love White Duck Taco. If you ever go there, you should eat a White Duck Taco. I love White Duck Taco. And then in the wintertime, they've got corn chowder. So delightful. Anyway, I really get to see my daughter. And so we get to sit down. We get to have lunch together. We get to celebrate. We get to talk about the fun things that's been taking place within their lives as an adult. Pray intentionally, y'all, and pray specifically. Pray intentionally and pray specifically. I believe that to be true. Here's some unhealthy behaviors, and then we're going to pray. Guilt-driven manipulation is terrible. Guilt-driven manipulation. Don't guilt them. If they're not going to church, it's okay. Don't guilt them into it. There's nothing worse. I had a cousin one time that told me he got so tired of people calling him, and I'm going to say who called him because of this thing right here. He got so tired every Sunday morning, every Saturday night. Hey, are you going to church tomorrow? Don't guilt them into that. They know what they ought to do. They know what they should be doing. Guilt-driven manipulation is no good. Criticism disguised as concern. Criticism disguised as concern. Using money to control. That's huge. Using money to control, but I think sometimes we as adults, we've got to cut the money off so it isn't controlling. Micromanaging adult choices. Micromanaging adult choices, no good. Commenting on every relationship and career decision. Commenting on every relationship and career decision. Hey, listen, if they want to leave a job, let them leave a job. Now, is it what we would want them to do? No, I think it would be good for them to stay at a job. I'd want them to grow in that job. But you ready? I can remember a time when I went from being a bus boy to being, I don't know, going from bus boy to typewriter man that typed in the size of a block of checks at First Union, to going and working at an electrical company for a couple of months, and then going and working. I mean, I remember that, y'all. I remember running a jackhammer for 1 week for J.R. Vinoy Construction at a food line in Winston-Salem and crying in the meat locker. And I'm a young man, all right, going, this is miserable. But you ready? I'd never been out of Boomer, so I didn't even know what Winston-Salem was other than the mall. So don't judge me. Life was real, baby. Fear-based parenting cannot produce faith-based adults. Fear-based parenting cannot produce faith-based adults. So I want to encourage you, parents. Listen, if you're not there, you will be there one day by the grace of God. Understand, we're there as a friend and we're there as a consultant. We're no longer in control. We're there to give counsel. We're there to give wisdom when it's asked for. And it's difficult. That means we must listen more, and speak less. And that's hard. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for our day. Thank you for this time we've had. Lord, as we've continued through this journey of different stages of parenting, Lord, it's been a blast. But Lord, it's went by fast. And Lord, there's a lot of good and a lot of bads went on. And so, Father, I pray for each one of the ones that are here, the ones that are listening to this, that God, that you will continue to reign supreme within their home. Lord, you'll continue to guide. Lord, we'll continue to look to you as parents, but Lord, we'll continue to point to you as parents for that of our kids. Lord, as they grow up to be adults, that's what we want them to do. Lord, may we've done everything we could during these earlier stages so that, Father, we can come alongside and we can serve, lock arms with our adult children. And Lord, we can go and we can proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Shine a light in a very dark world. God, that's what you've called us to do. Take them, release them, fire them like arrows. And God, may we do that within each one of our lives today. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.